an amazing... That's the title to this message is called What the Father Endured. What the Father Endured. Amen. So let me just say on a Father's Day, because I remember I had a best friend when I was younger. We'd go to church. He was my best buddy. And he wasn't, I don't think he really ever knew his father. Or so when they would do all the Father's Day, and they were, and we honor fathers and everything, he would just like slide out the back and never want to be a part of that. And so let me just say this. I mentioned, and even with Mother's Day, some have fond memories of their father. I'm talking about earthly, okay? So hear me this. Some have fond memories of their father, some not so fond memories of a father. Would you agree? Some maybe have never even met a father. So I understand, today that on Father's Day for some people can be very joyful and great and awesome. Other people doesn't, make fond, great memories to other people, not so much. And some people maybe memories of pain and hurt, and some it just doesn't mean anything at all. So mentioning fatherhood right now could, like I said, could be feelings of joy, happiness, feelings of confusion, feelings of anger, feelings of guilt, feelings of abandonment. Is that a true statement? That's a true statement. That was my buddy when we were younger. And so, the one thing I hear so often in society is, and we're going to talk about this today, and just how the power of the gospel. So hear me out. You'll give me a few minutes and you'll stay awake. Maybe tell yourself, I'm going to stay awake. I'm going to have ears to hear. I'm going to get a nugget today. I'm going to get a nugget from the Lord. The Lord is going to reveal something about Him being my Father today. Come with the heart and the attitude that, Lord, I'm going to receive to You something today that can bless me and I can be a blessing to those around me. Isn't that the purpose of it? Amen. The Word of God continually being sown in our heart and continually growing us and renewing our minds. So the one thing I hear so often in society is, you don't understand what I have been through or I'm going through. You ever heard that? And I know that's a true statement, that I don't understand what people... I don't understand. Let me just say this, right? Because I'll hear things like, you aren't of my race or my ethnicity. So how could you understand? Or you weren't raised like me, so how can you possibly understand? Or you don't understand addiction or the pain that I've been in. And I understand that could be a true statement. Or someone might say, hey, yeah, I'm totally blessed financially. Let's flip this around, okay? Because I've been totally blessed financially, but you don't understand the sacrifice that I went through to get here. And I understand that, man. Be working hard and being blessed financially. There is no problem with that. But sometimes people with their money in the world, they gather this and they say, this is mine now. And you don't know what I went through to get here. Well, let me just say this. We know that if you know the Lord, that every gift, every blessing comes from the Lord. Amen. He gives you the strength every morning to get up and get out there and get at it, whatever God has you doing. Amen. Or even if you're retired, you've got energy, you're getting up to do something, I'm hoping, right? Amen? Still having purpose in your life? It gets quiet then, huh? Crickets. And so when people say, hey, you don't understand what I'm going through, you haven't been where I've been through. And then this is what I say, and I say this, but the answer is Jesus Christ. People say, yeah. But you still don't know what I've been through, or Chad. But let me just say this as we go through this, and it won't be real long today. The answer is Jesus Christ. Regardless of where you might find yourself now, how you were raised, or the excuses you might make for the way you act or think, amen, the answer is Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, God in the flesh, subjected Himself to the kind of abuse you and I could never imagine. We're going to talk a little bit. I'm going to talk. So let me say that again. Jesus, God in the flesh, subjected or allowed Himself to experience the kind of abuse and hardship that you and I could never imagine. He allowed Himself to be totally rejected and abused by mankind. And that is the truth. We're going to talk about some of these things today. Because sometimes we have I hear in society, and what the big problem is, hey, you don't understand what I've been through. You don't know. Don't even start. Don't even lecture me or talk to me. You don't understand. But I'm thankful regardless. I don't care what you've been through today, saint. I don't care those that you might be ministering to and what they've gone through, and you might feel hopeless in ministering to them. There is nothing that you have not gone through that Jesus in some way, some form, some fashion, way or another, that he has not experienced himself. Amen. I'm going to start going through some of these things, and just to remind us that before we take communion together, to have an appreciation of exactly what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ subjected himself to, and the Father got to watch it all. The answer being Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin, but he was born without really any fanfare. Amen. There was no arrival. If it said, hey, the King of Kings has arrived. Amen, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah has arrived. No, it wasn't anything like that. Matter of fact, while he was on earth, most 99.9% of the people believed at that time, you are not the Messiah. So what he was, very few people that believed he was the Messiah were people that had no influence in society. So the people that had influence, there were very few of them, if not, that even believed he was the Messiah. And the few that did, like in John 3, would show up at night to talk to him. Like, I want to talk to you, Jesus, but it's going to be at night. I don't want to be seen with you because of my place and my position. So Jesus experienced those things that he experienced. And so he was not understood at all, not even really by his parents, even though obviously Mary knew, say, hey, I'm pregnant, I'm having a baby, I've not known any man at all, right? She was a virgin, so she said, yeah, I'm carrying something supernatural. But even then, remember when Jesus at 12 years old, when they went up for the feast, amen, and then they took off and left to go back home, and they all of a sudden are saying, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Spent 3 days looking for Jesus. Where's Jesus? 12 years old. And then they go into the temple. They said, Jesus, where have you been? And Jesus said this. He said, did you not know that I would be in my Father's house? And yet, this is what it says, and yet they on their part did not understand the statement which he had made to them, even though they were Jesus being born of a virgin, but it being probably a very average boy, good boy, but at 12 years old they might be thinking, what's so spectacular about this son of ours? What's so different? We don't really see anything different around him. We might have this mindset that Jesus went around kind of just floating right in the air. No, could you imagine that maybe when he was playing, he fell down and might have skinned up his arm, and he might have, you know, when he was a young boy, and he could have been crying, saying, you know, and having to have a mother or father come and comfort him. Did you know he was an average boy growing up? And so they might have been thinking, you know I had this supernatural birth. What's so awesome about or supernatural of this boy that we have, that when he was in his father's house, he said to them, didn't you know this is where I'd be, in my father's house? And they said, they didn't understand it. Didn't understand what Jesus was going through internally as he started realizing as he was growing up that, you know what, I am different. I there is something, my father has begun to speak to me, and there's something different to me. As he grew up, as his father began to reveal to him who he was, and then finally when he was baptized and he came up and the Holy Spirit descended on him, and there's a voice that came out that said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And so even his parents not quite understanding who he was, not saying rejected by his parents, but they were still didn't quite understand who he was in the flesh. And then how about he was rejected by his own family? It was says in the Bible says, for no one does anything. His brother said to him, for no one does anything in secret when he himself is striving to be known publicly. So this is his own brother saying, hey, if we think you're striving to be known, so what are you doing hanging out in Galilee? Don't you need to get up to Jerusalem? So he says, their brother said, if you're doing the things here, show yourself to the world. Then it says, for not even his brothers believed in him. So his parents didn't believe, didn't quite understand him. His brothers and his sisters having rejected him. Amen. Rejected by his own family. Religious leaders of the time rejected Jesus, saying things like, hey, yeah, we see the miracles that you're doing, but you're doing them by the power of Satan. What they were saying is, you're opposite of a godly man. You're opposite of being a modern-day prophet, or let alone the Son of God. The things that you're doing, you're actually doing by the power of Satan. So all the religious leaders were against him, and they weren't just ignoring him. They were speaking lies about him and wanting to murder and kill in him. So we don't have anything going too well for Jesus yet, do we? Not too much. We're not seeing too much that he would have really any joy in life. You know, even Jesus' own disciples didn't even understand why he walked with them. Did you know that? Reading here, it talks about in the book of John, they got into a boat with them. Jesus walked on the water. He got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. Remember when he was walking on the water and he got in the boat, and it says the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished. Well, that's amazing, but it goes on to say this. It says, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves. He had just fed the 5,000. They were part of it. They saw this miraculous miracle of what Jesus did with the bread and the fishes. Multiplying and feeding over 5,000 people. They saw that. So when they saw Jesus walking on the water, they were still utterly amazed. They didn't quite understand who he was, because it goes on to say that they were utterly amazed when he got into the boat, and it said, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened, it says there. So even as Jesus with all his disciples, as you know, it wasn't revealed to them really who they didn't quite understand. We have Peter one minute saying, you are the Son of God. And the next minute, Jesus is having to say to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Amen. He didn't understand that he was going to have to come and die and shed his blood for the sins of the mankind. What these disciples, these 12, this inner circle, they were saying, this is Jesus, and we're waiting for him to raise up in power, amen, and dominate and defeat who? The Romans. They said, Jesus, these miracles are awesome, but when are the Romans going to get their can kicked? Can I say it that way? When's the battle get on? When are we going to see the blood of the Romans? What you're doing here is really awesome. But their hearts were focused on the government of what they were under, the Jews. Jesus, what he came to accomplish was far beyond anything they could comprehend at that time, was it not? But it says that the miracles that they saw, their hearts would become hardened because they were thinking in a different directions. How about this continued? So his disciples didn't quite understand him. And then how about this continued? Betrayed by one of his closest friends, Judas. Talking about betrayal. Talking about not being able to trust anybody. Psalms 41:9 says, talking about Judas prophesying this, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. He's the one that was the treasure and kept the money. So even while Jesus was performing his signs and wonders and miracles, and he's got his ministry, even one of his closest friends was stealing money out of the treasury, taking from Jesus, taking from the others. Man, it doesn't seem like Jesus doesn't have much going for him at this time, does it? Even though, and then we have Peter. Remember, Peter denies him. Peter, his other close friends say, man, I don't care what anybody else does. I will never deny you. You can count on me. You can count on me. Jesus, you know me. I chopped off that servant's ear, or he would chop it off. I'll never. And the next thing you know, he's denying him three times. Not even just denying him, but began to cuss and call down curses. So who knows what that was? Can I be honest? It'd be something modern vernacular. I don't know that effing guy. Can I be safe? Just being honest. I don't know that. You put in the But that was true. It said he began to call down curses. You guys are effing crazy, this and that, and all these things, this cursing coming out of his mouth, not just denying him, but vehemently with cursing, saying, I don't know him. And it says when he said it the third time, Jesus, where he was at, where he was already getting abused, getting hit, getting smacked, looked at him right at his eyes and did well when that. Then he realized, remembered, he says, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you will have denied me. You know, Jesus was 100% God, but 100% human. You know, he had feelings. Amen. Amen. He experienced rejection like nobody else. And understand this, we'll say he was rejected by those that he was by the right hand of God when this entire world was made. He was there. He was the fourth man in the fire. Amen. He was the one, as we'll learn in the future, that was there with Gideon when Gideon brought an offering, the angel of the Lord. And we'll talk about he's been there throughout the whole. The more I read and study the Word of God in the Old Testament, I just see Jesus. Everything I read about when King David is talking about the things that he's struggling about, he's actually prophesying what Jesus' feelings were when he was walking this earth and the loneliness that he felt from his own family and those that he was trying to serve that rejected him. And it says, the only one I can count on is my Father. And then even with him experiencing those, how about the cross? Can we move on to the cross a little bit just to remember that Isaiah 52:14 says this, and talk about the cross and what he struggled. Just as many were appalled at you, my people, this is talking about Jesus, so his appearance was marred beyond that of a man, and his form beyond the sons of mankind. So the abuse and the beating that he endured before he ever even got to the cross, he was unrecognizable. The beat, what he took for you and I, what he submitted himself, when he submitted to the Father and said, Lord, I'll do what it takes to restore mankind's relationship with you. I'll pay the price for sin. I'll be that second Adam, but I won't mess it up this time. I'll be that perfect person that will make it all the way to the end so that he could restore you and I together. And so he allowed himself to be beaten to where he was not even recognized. It says, even while we are yet sinners, Christ died for you and I. Even while we still rejected him, he still died for you and I, still having you and I on his mind. Even while we were cursing him and making fun of him and using his name as a curse word, he still died for you. He still died for everybody that would reject him and never. What is the rejection that God still feels to this day as he's given a way for salvation, as he loves mankind, as he shed his blood for them, but still people by the droves reject him and mock him. But yet he still paid that price. So that you and I, the ones that do say, I believe that, we'll receive eternal life by faith, realizing what he did for you and I, so we could walk in his righteousness. That excites me. Amen. That lets me know that no matter what I faced, or when people say, you don't understand what I went through. Yeah, I don't, but I know the one who did. And let me tell you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't have to know what you've been through, because I know the one who went through everything for you, regardless, paid the price so you could be restored and walk in his joy and his strength, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Let's continue on some of the things that Jesus that were prophesied 800-900 years before he ever came to this earth. Amen. How about Isaiah 56 and 7? The book of Isaiah prophesying about Jesus Christ is powerful. Here's some of these few more scriptures. This is what Jesus says. I gave my back to those who strike me. When he took the the stripes on his back. I gave my back for those who strike me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. It's talking about abuse. And it says, and I did not hide my face from insults and spitting. Remember, they were spitting on him, smacking him. They had him blindfolded and hitting him and say, prophesy who hit you. Abusing our Lord and Savior. Just what he went through for the cross is unimaginable, let alone what he experienced in his lifetime for you and I. Amen and amen. See, Jesus, and then it goes on to, verse 7, it says, for the Lord God helps me. Then he said this, the Lord God helps me, therefore I am not disgraced. Therefore I have made my face like flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Remember where he says, I endured the shame and the cross? Amen. And now I'm seated at the right hand of the Father in the book of Hebrews. He endured that knowing what it would do as far as bringing you and I into relationship with him. Amen. Jesus was stripped of his outer and undergarments, and he was naked as he was hung on a cross. So it wasn't just he went through that. He is naked and hanging on the cross. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can beautify the scene of Jesus dying on the cross, but he was stripped of everything. And so he was stripped of his outer and undergarments, naked and nailed to the cross. People came by. Let's talk about more mocking. It wasn't done yet. People came by and mocked him, saying, if you're the Son of God, get off of that cross. If you are who you say you are, come down from that cross so that we can believe in you. So the abuse and the mocking him didn't stop just up to the time of the cross, up to his last breath. The world is mocking him. If you're the Son of God, come down off that cross. Even one of the criminals said, yeah, if you're the Christ, get us off of this cross. Amen. You still there? Aren't you thankful for what Christ did? I mean, is there anything that you've experienced in your life that Jesus Christ does not understand? Nothing. Amen. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus experienced his greatest hour of need. Listen here. In his greatest hour of need, his own Father rejected him. Everybody in the whole world had rejected him. Mark 15:33 and 34, let's read this together. So when the sixth hour came, darkness fell on the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Elio, Elio, lema, Sabachthani, maybe, which is translated, this is what it means though. My God, why have you forsaken me? See, when Jesus was laying on there, was nailed to that cross, and he became sin for us. He became sin. And God turned his back. He could not look at him. God is holy and perfect. When he saw that sacrifice, saw everything, he was forsaken so that you and I could be restored. So when you think it could not get worse, he's on the cross. Jesus says, man, you've forsaken me. I don't sense you. Matter of fact, he says, you've turned your back on me as if there's something wrong with me. God, what did I do to deserve this, that you would turn your back on me and reject me? No, Jesus was rejected so that you and I could be restored. Did you know that? There is no form of rejection on this earth that God can't heal, deliver, and restore, because he paid the price 100%. That is the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus understands everything that anybody in this world has ever been through, because he says, I've experienced it for you so that I can have compassion on you. When you turn your life to me, how I want to restore you, how I want to love on you, how I want you to know how worthy you are by my blood. I want you to be everything that I've called you to be, so I have experienced it for you, so that it doesn't matter what anybody else in the world thinks of you. Your Father loves you. And Jesus, I know what you're going through. When everybody had rejected me, the one person who had never rejected me, that whole 33 years on earth, for a moment turned his back on me. and says, I can't look at you. You've become sin. You become all that rejection is. All my wrath is being poured out on you against sin. I can't bear to watch it. And turned his back upon Jesus. If you've ever been felt rejected, or even feel rejected now, let me just say this. There's one in heaven at the right hand of the Father that says, I know what you're feeling. I may have not been on the side of the tracks that you have been. I may not experience the things you have, but I know the one that has, and I know the power of the gospel, and I know what he can do in restoring you. I know what the Holy Spirit does in a life when somebody says, Jesus, I give you my life. It doesn't matter the past. God begins to clear out the clutter, begins to do this and pull this out in your soul realm, begins to plant and build and grow you in him, and it doesn't matter because Jesus says the world can reject you. I have accepted you. Matter of fact, when the world accepts you is when you might be a little concerned. When the world accepts you fully, sometimes you got to be a little concerned. As the saying goes, if you don't bump into the devil once in a while, you might be going the same direction. But if you're walking with the Lord, how many of you have bumped into some things with the enemy? So I'm thankful what Jesus Christ has done. When the enemy or somebody else tries to tell me lies, because there's two types of fathers, by the way. There's two fathers in the spiritual realm. There's Satan, who is the father of lies. Who Jesus even said to the Israelites, you do what your father tells you to do because you're of your father. What was he saying then? As he was saying, is, hey, look, doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. When I shed my blood and I'm raised from the dead, there's only one way to the Father, and that is by faith in my shed blood. Amen. Amen. So Jesus experienced all that. All of this happened so that we could be adopted by the one true Father. Many of you heard it, maybe a few. I just love this story. Can I tell it the 10th time? So me and my two sisters, we were adopted. And my sister, Lisa, wanted to get a birth certificate. She lost her birth certificate. So, you know, sending a letter or whatever form to the Vital Records, Department of Vital Records, she figured, I've got to put my birth name when she was born. So she put, you know, her name. And then so she sent that inquiry in, and she gets a letter back saying, we have no records of Lisa Diane Riley. Because that was our birth name. And she, well, that's what my name was when I was born. It was Lisa Diane Riley. But when she sent in a new, filled out a new form and put Lisa Diane Nanke, her adopted name, they said, oh, we know who that is. We show from birth that your name was Lisa Diane Nanke. We have no record of Lisa Diane Riley. See, when we're adopted by Jesus Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things have become of God. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter. You can have pain from a natural family, things that have been done to you, or things that you have done. When you become adopted into the family of God, man, he makes you and I brothers and sisters in Christ, washing those things away, making us brand new. There's things that he continues to heal and deliver us of. But man, there's no difference in any of us, amen? Doesn't matter your background, you and I are in this position. We are sons and daughters of God. We are all his favorites in Jesus' name, because that's what the cross did for us, made us completely accepted by him, making us having been adopted with no record of me in the past. Now I'm a new creation, and that's what God knows about me. Hallelujah. So don't tell me I don't know what you've been through, because the one who has, who's been through more than you ever have or ever could dream of, says, I choose you. Here's the thing that really, this is the heart of the God to everybody born. I choose you. But you know what the response has to be from us? I choose you too. I choose you to be my father. See, you and I choose who our father is. It's either self-righteousness or doing our own thing, which is the father of lies, Satan. Or saying, Jesus, I believe that what you did on the cross is enough. I want you to adopt me. I want to walk with you. I want your righteousness. I want to pursue you. I want the life that you have for me. I choose you, Father. That's the thing. Everybody, Jesus is he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I'm a whosoever, how about you, any whosoever's in here? That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I can tell you one thing, that is wonderful news, hallelujah. So I can say this, I may not understand everything you have been through on this Father's Day, but I'm preaching the one who does. Hallelujah. Let me read this scripture before we take communion, so it makes, I hope, understanding what Christ accomplished. I mean, in every way, shape, and form, he was rejected. Not by his Father, but to that moment where he was rejected. Amen. So Jesus felt suspended between heaven and earth, with having become sin, all the sin of the world on him, having become sin for you and I, his Father turning his back on him, Jesus felt something that you and I could never feel. Did you know that? He experienced that something nobody, it was just him suspended between heaven and earth, nobody there on his side, nobody to help him, nobody felt like nobody cared. It felt like he was in no man's land with nobody that cared, but that he could feel the weight of the sin of who he was. All of a sudden, it's like, I'm sin. God, my God's rejected me. Could you imagine what's going through his mind at that time as the man part of him? And then being God, but being disconnected for the very first time, and all the creation being disconnected from the Father. Doesn't matter how connected or disconnected. Well, I shouldn't say it that way. That's not right. Wherever you find yourself right now in connection with a mother or father, just know this, that your Heavenly Father desires to be connected with you in a very intimate way. He loves you. He paid the price of sin for you. He wants to draw close to you. He loves taking people that in the world's eyes don't look like they have much value, but you are very valuable to him. And he wants to do mighty, incredible things in your life so he can say, look at my son and daughter. Look at my son and daughter. Look at my son and daughter. Huh? Look what I've done there. That person belongs to me, and look what I've done in their life. He loves to showcase the weak and the hurting. He loves to show what he can do in somebody's life who's been rejected, or those who have been marginalized, or those who have blown it. Yeah, I know maybe some of us have blown it in great ways. Amen. But your Father's still waiting there. Amen. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. So you come to Hebrews, knowing what Jesus went through and accomplished for you and I. Let me read Hebrews 4:15 and 16. And it says this, for we do not have a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. He rose from the dead. He was the final sacrifice. He's the Lamb of God. Amen. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Did you hear that? We do not have a high priest. This is not who he is. Who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He does sympathize with your weaknesses. Amen. But we, one who has been tempted, it's just talking about Jesus, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. He endured it all. Amen. He was able to be that final sacrifice. The devil couldn't even find one point of contention. He was that final perfect Lamb of God who became the final sacrifices. There's no more sacrifices at all. There's no way. There's no sacrifice for righteousness. No matter what you do, no matter what you try to accomplish, there is nothing that you can do to make yourself righteous. He's the only one that did it perfectly. And when he laid his life down, amen, he made himself one who has been tempted But he understands what you've been through. He says, I made it through. Put your trust in me and you can follow me and I'll get you through the fire. I'll get you through every temptation. You may be times that you're weak. There may be times that you fail. There may be times that you struggle. But if you'll keep putting your trust and faith in me, just like what he said, just like what I had to go through on my earth when things didn't look good, I just kept trusting my Father and he got me through every trial, every temptation. That's what he'll do for you and I. Hallelujah. But the one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin. Then I love this scripture. I love this scripture. Therefore, because of what he accomplished, let's approach the throne of grace. What's that grace called? Throne of grace. Therefore, let's approach the throne of grace with what? Confidence. You know, a lot of times we're not careful. We'll think we can't approach him with confidence. This is how it looks, though. Okay, let me give you an example. We're going to get ready to take communion. And instead of approaching the throne room of grace, people will be taught that I can't take communion because I'm struggling. Did you know that's actually opposite of the truth I've come to realize? When I'm struggling, I need to come into fellowship. How am I going to walk in confidence with him if every time I fail, I feel like that there's been this communion with him broken? No, I come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I belong to you. Failing again and again and again. I'm weak. But I'm coming to the throne room of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help at our time of need. Let me tell you this. If there's areas that you might be struggling in your life, you need to approach his throne room of grace and mercy. I say, Lord, I need your help. Lord, the word of God says he remembers that we're dust. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. Amen. He remembers that your flesh, you're a three-part being, right? There's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then what's there? There's spirit man. When you're born again, you get a brand new spirit. You got spirit, soul, and body. There's three of you. Amen. And the only way that your body is going to come under control is it's crucified, it's dead. We realize that's never going to come until you get a resurrected body. Your flesh has a mind of its own. Did you know that? That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Amen? And so let me say, as we come to communion, as Gina comes to play the piano, I remember when I was younger, and maybe there's some people here who were this way or not, but it was a 50-50 chance I would take communion. Because this is how I interpret it. Okay, I've got to figure out how to clean myself up, and then I can come into communion with him. And so what would happen is I would, in my own strength, I'll say, okay, I'm going to quit doing this, I'm going to quit thinking this way, I'm going to quit acting that way, and it just, that won't work. Your flesh, in Romans 8, it says that our flesh is enmity towards God, and it can never please him. But what happens is you die, the outer man, you realize I'm dead to sin, alive unto him by his spirit man, being led by his spirit, amen? So what you do is you come into fellowship, you say, Lord, here I am. You know my weaknesses, you know my struggles, but you say, Jesus, I belong to you. And you say, Lord, thank you for washing every sin away. Thank you for your blood. Thank you. Then today, thinking about what you did, what you went through, all the rejection, all the pain, all the suffering, all the abuse, verbally, mentally, physically. He went through that for you, that he could renew your mind by his Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that you could be a brand new creation in him. Let me just say this. I've come to realize I'm not perfect by any means. Still got my shortcomings and struggles. Anybody who knows me long enough will know that. But I've come to realize is that's not who I am. I'm a new creation. That's not how God sees me. In 2 Corinthians 5:23, it says that Christ became sin for me, that I could become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So when I come into communion, if you look at that whole chapter of communion, when Paul's talking to them, he's talking to a group of people that are coming together and they're actually tearing the church apart. That's when he says, judge yourself. Are you one of those that's coming to the church meetings and getting drunk? Are you one that's coming to time of communion and despising the poor and eating food and looking at the poor going, you don't have nothing. If you were righteous as me, you'd have something to eat. That was the mentality. If you really were righteous, you'd have something to eat. So they were condemning one another. So that was Paul saying, hey, when you come together, is it for the better? No, you're tearing the body of Christ apart. He was not talking about people's inward struggles. Not one bit. Sorry. Not one bit. You know how I know that? I read it. I read the chapter. And all the things that I've been taught growing up, I was like, wait a second. That's not even what it's talking about. He's my righteousness. Is he your righteousness? I'd like to do something here, and I think I know most people, but I want to, can we just pray a declaration of just Jesus is Lord and Savior? Can you just repeat after me? And then after service, if you need prayer for anything, I don't care what it is. There's no shame. Amen. He bore my shame. Would you come up here? If you need prayer, we'd love to pray with you. For whatever the reason, whether you said, hey, I just want you to know that I need prayer for this situation or this struggle, or that I want you to know I've come into a commitment with my life with Jesus Christ. But can you repeat after this? Can everybody in this room repeat after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you came in the flesh. I believe you lived a perfect life for my sins. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. Thank you for washing my sins away. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for filling me with the Holy Spirit. I believe you're coming back, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Aren't you glad to know that he loves you? So I come to realize when somebody says to me, I've come to realize there's, hey, in my own life, I've been through a lot of things that nobody knows about, and that's none of their business. That's not the purpose. It doesn't matter what I've been through or haven't been through. I know the one, let me say this again, that has endured all the pain and the shame and came out victorious. And his righteousness is my righteousness. And I am victorious in him. Does everybody have an element? Can you raise your hand if you don't have one? Amen. Let's take communion together. Let's remember what the Lord part of taking, it says remember the Lord's death until he returns. So part of what we're taking this cup and this bread today is remembering what he accomplished and what he went through for you and I. Isn't that amazing? So I'm just going to read real quick from 1 Corinthians chapter 11 as we take this cup together. It says, So Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed, boy, did he undergo betrayal, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And Lord, right now we remember everything you did for us and what you accomplished for us. And we thank you and we praise you and we exalt you. Mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's take that together. And then Paul continued on. He said, in the same way, he also took the cup. Can you lift the cup up with me? After supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So in taking this, right before you take it, we acknowledge, Lord, your blood washed our sins away. Your blood heals our body. It heals every disease. We curse every disease right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father God, that there's no disease you cannot heal. That when you took sickness, it says in Isaiah 53, you took sickness on your body. It says by your stripes we are healed in Isaiah 53. 1 Peter 2:24, it says by his stripes you were healed. So we declare that over our bodies, over our emotions, and over our mind right now. We thank you for the power of the gospel in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Lord, and we receive this with the promises of God being yes and amen. That was awesome. Amen. Amen. Can you stand up with me? Do you love the Lord today? I'm a little fired up. We had a really good time of pre-service prayer today. And the Lord just speaking about taking dry areas and bringing them to life. You guys listen? Okay. We're almost done. Then we can go about our day. I love the Lord, don't you? Can we just take a second? If you don't, would you mind if you're willing to thank him for his mercy and his grace? Can you lift your hands up and just thank him? Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace today. Lord, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the church of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for brothers and sisters by adoption. Amen. Coming from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different experiences. Amen. Amen. Different struggles. But even so... By adoption, we are 100% brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are all children of Abraham. And so with that, Father, we thank you. We thank you for strength today, Lord. Those people with areas in their life, Lord, where maybe they've been under condemnation. Do not receive condemnation. Condemnation, I'm meaning where you're feeling like you're not accepted by Christ because of your struggles. Right now you say, I am not going to listen to the voice of the enemy in those areas anymore, because who's the accuser of the brethren? It's the one Father that we're not under. That's Satan, the father of all lies. So, Father, we cancel out his voice in Jesus' name. Father God, we rebuke those lying voices. Father, we come against condemnation, and we thank you for your freedom, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you're a good, good Father, and we love you, we praise you, and we exalt you. Thank you for strengthening us, Lord. And Lord, we thank you tomorrow, the very best day of the week, Monday. Lord, we thank you for strength. We thank you for peace. We thank you for joy. We thank you for leading and guiding our lives in Jesus' name. Father, we shall live and not die, declaring the glory of the Lord. We speak that over our lives. We speak it over our children. We speak it over our homes. And we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And Father, we just go in peace and your goodness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah.